Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everybody here today. We're in Luke chapter 18 this morning. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 17. And the title of the message this morning is Pray, Pray, Pray. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. We believe in a God who loves us and desires for us to know him and love him. We believe in a God who can do anything. We believe in a God who answers prayer. But what happens in our lives when we don't sense his love? What happens in our lives when we pray and know that God can do anything, but he doesn't seem to do anything to change the specific situation we find ourselves in? What happens when we pray and pray and nothing happens? There are periods in our lives that we just can't seem to connect with God. There are periods in our lives that our prayers seem to go nowhere. If you think that only happens to you, you're wrong. It happens to all of us. It happens all of us sometimes in our lives. Sometimes there are periods of drought where we can't seem to connect to God or sense his presence or his love. Sometimes those last a few days. Sometimes they might last a few weeks or even longer than that, even a few years of drought. I know people have gone through. What do we do when we come to those times in our lives? Jesus, in this passage we read this morning, is teaching us some truths about prayer that we need to take to heart so that when God seems silent and our prayers go unanswered, we will still trust him and know that he's not deserted us. Jesus had told his disciples at the end of chapter 17 about his coming. And he was going to come, and they would long for the days of his coming. But they wouldn't see him. And then he tells them these stories to help them to see that even when God delays his justice, delays making everything right, delays answering our prayers, that he is still working, that he is still listening to us, that he will still answer our prayers. And he told these passages to us so that when heaven seems silent, we will keep praying. Don't stop praying and trusting God even when delays happen in your life, even when he seems far away from you. The passage, I think, teaches us some essential truths about how to pray. First of all, prayer needs to be persistent and continually offered, trusting God's ultimate justice. Now, Jesus said in verse 1, the scripture says, he told this parable to his disciples to teach them to pray and not to lose heart. The phrase "not to lose heart" basically means don't give in to evil, don't go into despairing, don't give up the idea that evil will lose and good will win. Don't give in to despair and believe that nothing will ever change, that nothing is changing. And so Jesus told this story, this first story that he told in the passage that I read this morning, of a certain judge in a city. And he tells of this judge, and he said, this judge did not fear God or respect men. This judge did not think he would have to answer to God for his life. He was not afraid of the consequences of a godless life. He had no fear of God. You know, I read a sad thing this week about Ronald Reagan Jr. And Ronald Reagan Jr. is making commercials for the Freedom From Religion Foundation that's based right here in Madison. And in the commercial, he says he is an unabashed atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. Pretty blatant and right out there. Well, that was the kind of man this judge was. He did not fear God. He was not afraid of God or God's justice. He thought he owed nothing to God, and God into any equation was not going to affect how he thought and how he reacted and how he responded. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or the beginning of knowledge. And to me, it's a frightening thing that we live in a day when people would say something like that, especially straight out. But anyway, the judge had no fear of God. And then he says the judge also had no fear of men. He didn't respect men. He didn't care if you were going to be helped or hurt. It didn't matter to him. The only thing that mattered was what was in it for him. Would it advance his career? Would it line his pockets? He had no respect of people. He was totally self-absorbed and uncaring. That's the judge. But then in the Bible, it mentions someone else. It mentions in the story a widow, a powerless widow. Now, in New Testament times in particular, widows were among the most impoverished and powerless people. Oftentimes, there were not legitimate ways for women to make money in these cultures. And so they were impoverished in many times. And that's why in the Old Testament, there's an emphasis on taking care of the widows and the orphans. I think sometimes that translates to women with children whose husbands aren't around or things like that in our day. But anyway, the woman was among the most powerless of her culture. She was the lowest of the low in society. Something unjust happened to her. Someone took advantage of her. We don't know exactly what, but whatever it was, they took advantage of her powerlessness. Now, the woman had no money. She couldn't hire a good lawyer. She had no friends in high places. The only thing she had was her persistence. The only thing that could guarantee possible justice in her case was her persistence. She kept coming to the judge, and she kept asking him for justice in her case. She did not give up. She did not lose heart. She went to the judge. She did her best to make his life miserable so that he would give her justice. She badgered him continually. I bet he avoided her. I bet when he saw her coming down the road, he went to the other side. He refused to grant justice. And, she could do nothing for him. She could not advance his career. She didn't have any money to bribe him. So he would not give her justice. But finally he decided, this woman's wearing me out. She's wearing me out. I don't respect God. I don't fear man. But because she keeps bothering me, I'm going to give her justice. I'm going to do something just to get her off my back. And in fact, it's kind of angry. It's kind of amazing the language he uses. He says, so that she will not beat me down by continually coming. You know, the language is there. It's almost like she's going to beat me up if I don't do something about this. This was one persistent person. One persistent person. That's all she had going for her. And finally, he gave her justice in her situation. Now look how Jesus applies this. He says, hear what the unrighteous judge says, the judge of injustice. Hear what he says. Now he's going to grant justice to this woman because of her sheer persistence. And then he says, will not God? Now he's not saying God is like this. He's saying God is in no way like this. God is caring about people. God wants justice. God is the perfect just God of the universe. He is the God who loves his children, and he is totally opposite of this crummy judge. Will not God give justice to his elect, his children? The perfectly just God who loves his children, he will grant justice to them even if that justice seems to be delayed. He will give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night. Who cry to him day and night. And Jesus says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. To them speedily. He will answer their prayers. He will work for their deliverance. He will give them justice speedily or quickly. But it doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like it's too quick. It seems like we pray and pray and pray and nothing happens. It seems like the wicked are winning and nothing happens. But you see, we've got to understand God sees time and sees things differently than us. In the adult Sunday school, we talk about Joseph. Joseph told the cupbearer, he gave him an interpretation of his dream, and the cupbearer was released from prison. But it took him 2 years to tell Pharaoh. Now you think 2 years, that's, you know, two more years in prison is a long time. And also, if he would have told Pharaoh when he got out, it probably wouldn't have affected Pharaoh in the least. He could have cared less. But when Pharaoh had his dreams and he saw the seven lean cows eat up the fat cows and the seven crummy ears of corn eat up the fat ears of corn, when he heard about Joseph, it made an impact. You see, God's got his timing for everything. You know, there are delays in God answering our prayers and giving us justice. There are delays. And so Jesus asked the question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God delays. And Jesus says, keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep on going to God for the things that you know are just and good and right. Now, why does God delay? Well, we've talked about this before. The Bible says, don't forget this. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. It might seem he's slow, but God's not slow. The Bible says he's patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, God delays so that people can repent and believe. God doesn't right every wrong today, because if he does, everyone that's not repentant, their day of grace will be over. The day of the Lord will come, the scripture says, like a thief in the night, but he delays in order to have mercy on people. God delays his children, God delays even for his children so that others might repent. Sometimes we don't know why God delays. You know, I wish I could tell you, you know, you're asking God for something and you know it's a good thing. It's not like you're asking him for a new Cadillac. You know, you want a new Jaguar or whatever it is. You know, maybe Brian wants a new Jaguar, but that's a different story. But anyway. But you know, it's not like you're asking him for something selfish just to use on your own. You're asking him to make you like Jesus, to bring your children to faith, that they walk with you. And it just seems God delays, God delays. Well, are you going to trust him? Are you not going to give up? Are you going to realize that God will not fail you as his child. Jesus says if the unjust judge will grant justice because of this woman's persistence, will not God do that for us? We got to have faith. We got to keep believing. You know, God's not the magic machine. We put in the right stuff and we get what we want out. God is concerned about teaching us to trust Him even when we don't see Him working. God is concerned in making us like Jesus. God is concerned in us seeing the world as He sees it. And so we got to just keep believing and trusting in God. We got to have faith. Keep on praying. So we got to pray persistently. You know, there are actually people that I've prayed for 20 and 30 and 40 years. And some of you can tell me the same thing. Some situations I prayed about for many years and I haven't seen the answer to those prayers. And I believe God still wants to answer them. So I'm going to keep going to Him. Now, keep on trusting God no matter what. Don't lose faith in Him. He is the God of justice. He will always do what is best for His people. I think there's something else we can learn about prayer from this passage of Scripture. Seems like kind of an odd collection of stories I put together today. Yet it's almost like they don't fit. And you know, you could have individual sermons on each one, but I think there's a connection. Prayer needs to be continually offered with the right attitude of humility toward God. Jesus then goes and He tells a story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And he told this story, it says, to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. He said there were two men. They went to the temple to pray. Maybe it was at the specified hour of prayer. There was a Pharisee and there was a tax collector. The Pharisee, to the people hearing the story, would be basically the good guys. Basically, they're the religious people. They're the ones seeking the Lord. They're the ones that are trying to help Israel do the law and keep God's law. And so they're the Pharisees. And then there's the tax collectors, and tax collectors were considered traitors. Tax collectors were considered turncoats. They cooperated with their Roman oppressors. And so, and often tax collectors were very dishonest. They took from you not only the tax that you owed, but they'd get more and they'd pad their own pockets with it. So you have the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Scripture says the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. Now that's very interesting. Now it's not really odd that he's standing because most people stood when they prayed. But he was standing by himself. Some said he stood and he, some translations say he stood and he prayed to himself. And I basically think that's what he did. He stood there and he prayed to himself. Ostentatiously, he stood at the front. He went to the temple and he took the best place, the one closest to maybe the holy place, as close as he could get. He stood there and he prayed. And this is what he said. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. You know, notice something. He listed all the sins he didn't commit. And then he listed all his wonderful things that he did for God, his religious stuff he did for God. He didn't just fast once a year that, you know, the Scripture talks about, you know, basically the law required. He fasted twice a week. There was periods like between certain religious holidays. The Pharisees would fast twice a week. He said, I fast twice a week. He didn't just give tithes on what he owned, but everything that came in, you know, he gave tithes. You know, he was not just doing what God required. He was going over and above. He was going over above. And so he said, he told God, he didn't confess any sins. He didn't ask for anything. He just told God how great a person he was and how lucky God was to have someone like him. He didn't think he needed anything from God. He prayed with pride because he was one of God's favorites. He even looked at the tax collector. I can see him just kind of pointing to the tax collector. I'm not an extortioner, adulterer. I'm not like that tax collector. He compared himself with others, and he thought he looked pretty good. I'm a religious guy. I'm a good guy. I'm not a crook. There's only one problem when you compare yourself with others. You always come out on top because you always compare yourself with someone who's doing worse than you, right? You know, God doesn't grade on the curve. His standard is his own holiness and perfection. And you better meet that standard. Then it said the tax collector prayed. Notice how where he stood, he was standing far off. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He beat his breast. He beat his breast in humility and repentance. And what did he say? He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not a long prayer, just a few words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, in fact, the prayer really says something a little more like, the word merciful could be translated, God, cover my sins. Turn your wrath away and cover those sins that are offending you. It has the idea of an offended deity turning his wrath away from someone who had offended him and covering his offense. He was asking not just for simple forgiveness and mercy, but the covering, the hiding, the just dismissing of his sins. You see, God will forgive you, but he'll never excuse you. And then he said, to me, a sinner. In fact, in the Greek, it's the sinner. I don't know why our translations don't translate it that, but that's what it says. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, the Pharisee looked at everybody else, and he compared himself to everybody else. The tax collector just looked at himself and his own sin. It's like Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Be merciful to me, the sinner. Two men came to worship with two completely different attitudes. And Jesus looked at the tax collector, said about the tax collector, this man went away justified rather than the other. The Pharisee called him this tax collector, but Jesus said, this man went away justified rather than the other. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The one who thought he was right with God remained unjustified. Jesus reinforces, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But the one who came and cried out for the covering of God for his sin in humility before God, he went away from there justified. He answered the prayer of the humble tax collector and disregarded the prayer of the proud Pharisee. You know, there's a theme that as we've read through Luke, I don't know if I've emphasized as much as I preached, but there's a great reversal in Luke. Those you think are going to be right with God are not. And those you don't think are good or seeking God are the ones that are seeking God and believing in Jesus. Those who are the exalted at the pinnacle of society aren't looking to Jesus, but those who are at the bottom are looking. There's the great reversal. Then Jesus goes into talking about the children. And he says that whoever does not receive the children, does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, shall never enter it. What was he talking about? He was talking about the same attitude that the tax collector had. The attitude of childlike humility. The attitude that says, I'm not bringing God anything. I need everything from God. I can't do anything for God. I just want him to touch me. You see, children can't offer, but they can only receive. You know, children will shamefully ask you just for about anything. They'll ask you just about anything. And that's the way we approach God, realizing he can give it to us. In our humility, he doesn't have to, but just approaching him in humility, in childlike humility. You see, Jesus was always open to children and to women and children. And in fact, in Mark's gospel, when the disciples turned the mothers and the children away, the Bible says Jesus was indignant. He was angry. And he says, let the little children come to me. This attitude of humility is something we all need to possess. It's something the tax collector had. It's something that everyone who comes to Jesus needs to come to him with. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And by the way, this is kind of my philosophy of evangelizing children. Let the little children come to me. You see, you don't push children, you don't manipulate children to come to Jesus, but when they begin to show an interest, when they begin to ask questions and are moving toward Jesus, you let them move toward Jesus. You don't say to them, you're not old enough. You just wait a few years before you think about these kind of things. When they begin to show interest, yeah, you raise them as Christians, you teach them the things of the Lord, but you don't manipulate it. As you teach them, as they begin to ask, as they begin to inquire, you let them come to Jesus. As they are drawn to Jesus and attracted to him, you say, yes, go for it. We don't hinder them in any way. We don't set roadblocks. We don't say, you're not old enough yet, but we let them come to Jesus. Now notice also that it doesn't say the kingdom of God belongs to children, but it says it belongs to such as these. Whoever has this childlike attitude of humility can come to Jesus. The tax collector had it. The mothers who brought their children had it. And these little children had it. You see, we always have to approach God in humility. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It is humility that we petition God for anything. You see, he owes us nothing. He doesn't have to answer our prayers. He doesn't have to give us anything, but he wants to. And if we approach him in humility, we come to him in humility in faith as we initially believe in Jesus. As sinners who need a Savior, he will be that Savior. He will forgive our sins. He will cover our sins through the blood of Jesus. And we also, as we live for him, we also approach him in humility, saying, God, do this in my life. You know, you can't demand anything from God. You can't just tell God what you want him to do. I've seen people do that. You see people on TV do that. No, God's God, and you're not, and I'm not. He's our creator and redeemer, and we are his creation, and we are the redeemed, and we can't demand him. We can go to him, and we can ask of him. You know, your children ever come to you and say, you got to do this for me, Dad. Do this for me, Mom. They weren't getting it from me. I'm your dad. You ask the right way. You come to me the right way. We can't demand things from God. He doesn't answer our prayers because he has to. He answers them because he's a God who loves us and he wants to answer our prayers. And if we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he will exalt us at the proper time. Humility before God. I think there's one other lesson I want to point out to you about praying from these stories we read that Jesus told this morning. Prayer needs to be continually offered with an attitude of love and acceptance toward others. Now, these mothers were bringing their babies to Jesus to bless. And the disciples said, Jesus is too busy for you people. Don't bring these little kids to Jesus. He's got men to teach. You know, the attitude of first century men toward women and children was pretty terrible most of the time. But Jesus' attitude was not. His attitude was acceptance. Let the little children come to me. He rebuked. You see, I don't think his disciples were trying to harm Jesus when they kept. I think they thought Jesus was busy. There's only so much time in a day. I think they were trying to protect him, but Jesus said, no, that's not how I want you to do it. He rebuked his well-meaning disciples because of their wrong attitude toward these children. But I want you to also notice something about the attitude of this Pharisee in the parable. It said the Pharisee, he thought he was righteous and treated others with contempt. The attitude of self-righteous Pharisees was they were right with God, they were chosen, they were superior, and all other people except maybe fellow Pharisees were nothing. He treated others as less than nothing. He treated them as enemies and less than himself. He reduced human beings to nothing. He didn't treat anyone as a fellow human being, as a struggle on a path. He saw them as less than himself. And he derided them. You know, that's why our language about people is so important. If you use language that derides any other human being and treats them less than a human being created in the image of God, it's wrong. It's just wrong. But it's easy to do that from time to time. We got to be careful. The Pharisees treated others as nothing. He didn't love his fellow man. He could care less about anybody but his fellow Pharisees. You see, if we reduce people to less than ourselves, that's going to hinder our prayers. You see, we have to love others and see them as God sees them so that we can pray effectively. We can't look down on others. We can't think we're better than anybody else. We have to love them and accept them the way God loves and accepts us, and He accepts them if they come to Him. Hatred, superiority, bigotry toward others is always going to hinder our prayers. We need the same attitude, the attitude of humility and love toward others that we have toward God. We need to love them. So not only should we have an attitude of humility toward God, not only should we persistently pray, but we should love people and care about them because God loves people and cares about them. You see, we do serve a God who answers prayers. There are times of delay. There are times that seem like nothing's happening, but keep on praying. The God of love and justice will come through as we, in humility and love toward God and others, pray. Don't stop trusting God. Don't stop praying when He delays. Trust Him. Pray, pray, pray. Father, help us that when we pray and we ask and You delay, help us not to lose heart, to give in to despair, to think that evil is winning, to think that You will never act. Father, help us to know and believe that You will right every wrong. You will hear and respond to our prayers. You will move in the lives of those that we love and pray for. You will do what only You can do in their lives. Help us to trust You and believe in You. You are a good God. You will never fail us. And help us never to forget that. It is in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen.